Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This Nations League show on the Soccer Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season continues at MyBookie, and they're now offering a $20 free bet with the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP20 to get a free $20 bet with your first deposit. We're also brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use the promo code SGP for an instant deposit match up to $50. That's thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up, prop up today. Finally, we're brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in paperhead providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just head over to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. You are listening to your Nations League preview show here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast Network on Twitter at SGP Soccer. Also, don't forget to check out my website, lockbetting.com, where we've just come off another profitable month in September of £2,116. However, in the month of October, we are already sitting on £2,096 of profit after just 9 days. This is going to be a monster month with the NBA futures bet we're about to cash on the Lakers. Just waiting for one more game here. They lead 3-1 in the series, and that goes down tonight. But what goes down tomorrow and on Sunday is the Nations League. The Nations League is back. Some massive games to cover. So let's crack on with the show. Obviously, I'm not going to be covering every single Nations League game, because if I did that, this would be 1.5 hours to 2 hours. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the same approach I take to the European show, which is a show exclusive to the clients of lockbetting.com. For those of you that aren't clients that haven't heard that show, what I do is I scan through all of the major leagues around Europe, and I basically pick out 7 to 10 of my absolute favorite games and then talk about those on the show. And that's exactly what I'm going to do here. I'm going to look at a small selection of my favorite games from the weekend happening across Saturday and Sunday. And just one thing before I start, for those of you looking for some recap from last week's EPL, there's going to be some big recap, because obviously I can't just sidestep past the fact that my team got beaten 6-1 at home to Tottenham, and the fact that Liverpool got beaten 7-2 away to Aston Villa. So we'll be analysing all of that on the EPL show next week. So at the start of the EPL show, we'll be running through that. The locks have been going very well throughout the season. I'm very happy with the locks so far since the 2020-21 season started across all formats. And that includes the show I did about Messi. That includes all of the international shows, including the lock that we landed last time out here on the international shows, the Euro 2020 show. I've only dropped 3 locks for the entire season. So the record currently sits at 13-3 so far for the 2021 season. And that includes the EPL, the Bundesliga, and the three bonus shows that we've done, the two international shows, and the show about Lionel Messi. We're 3-0 on the bonus locks, 5-1 in the EPL, and 5-2 in the Bundesliga. So very happy about that. And the Champions League show, which we spoke about last weekend, that will come about on Monday once we get past this international break. So to reiterate, I will be doing the Champions League show. I will be previewing that draw, looking at the futures. Then when we have the EPL show next weekend, we will be analysing everything that happened. We'll be doing a longer show for the EPL next weekend to have a look at last week's crazy results, where we got well over the 35 goals that I predicted. I saw the fixtures and thought there'd be a lot of goals, but I didn't think there'd be as many as there was. And then, of course, you'll get the Bundesliga show next weekend as well. So let's crack on with the fixtures. And the first one that I've picked out for tomorrow is Ukraine versus Germany. The Ukraine are the 11-1 underdogs here. It's 19-4 the draw, and it's 2-9 on Germany. You might be wondering, especially if you listened to the first international show of the season we did, where we locked up Ukraine and we were talking very highly about how they'd done at home. So you may be wondering why they're such big odds and why Germany are 2-9 here. Well, it's because Ukraine have lost a whole bunch of players to COVID and have still decided to go ahead and play their games. And we saw them get beaten 7-1 by France in midweek, and that comes off the back of a 4-0 defeat against Spain in their last Nations League game. So this has been a very bad period for Ukraine, but obviously they have the excuse from the last game where they lost 7-1, the fact that they're missing players. But I don't think necessarily having home advantage is going to be able to help them contain this German team, who, if anything, are even more free-scoring than the French. So while they certainly aren't anything special defensively, they are very good at finding the back of the net. Germany have actually only kept 2 clean sheets in their last 7 games. So Germany to win here and both teams to score at 5-2 looks pretty big, because Ukraine have scored at least once in each of the last 10 home matches. But my pick for this game, and the best bet, would be for Germany to be able to net over 2.5 team goals here, which is available at even money. I would be absolutely stunned if the Germans don't find 3 goals here off the back of Spain finding 4 against the first team and France finding 7 in midweek. And I understand that Ukraine are at home, and I've made concessions for that, which is why I'm not taking the line at 4.5 or 5.5, but 2.5 I think is easily achievable, whether it's in Ukraine or not. And the fact that they are ravaged by COVID makes me even more convinced. Germany in midweek drew 3-3 against Turkey, and they'll be looking for a bounce back. But even in that game, they still managed to score 3 goals, and they did it with some fringe players. Here, I expect them to have a much more stronger lineup, and I'm even more confident here that they get the 3 goals needed to cash this bet. So over 2.5 team goals here for the Germans at even money will certainly be the play, and maybe a little sprinkle on Germany to win and both teams to score, which is available at 5-2. Up next, we look at Spain versus Switzerland, where Spain are available at 1-2 to win this game. It's 10-3 to draw, and it's 13-2 on Switzerland. I remember the first game of the 2010 World Cup. The first Spain game was against Switzerland, and Switzerland beat them 1-0. And there was such doom and gloom about Spain's chances, because they came in as the favourites and they were humbled by the Swiss. And then from that point, they went on to win every single game with their tiki-taka football and won the 2010 World Cup. Well, there isn't so much tiki-taka anymore, especially when the senior players who are more familiar with it aren't in a team. The new Spain team, they do have a little bit of tiki-taka, but these young players are far more direct. And I think that's going to give them a better chance in the Euros next summer, because I think when they played against England and were beaten in the Nations League last season, they were exposed playing that football when England's pace and directness really got at this Spanish team. But I think they've much improved, and their record suggests that, because they're now having a very, very long unbeaten run since that defeat. And they've won each of their last 7 games on the spin at home. Switzerland have actually scored in 17 of their last 20 competitive matches, and both teams have registered in each of Switzerland's last four fixtures. So Switzerland may be able to get themselves a goal here. So Spain and both teams to score is the same price as Germany and both teams to score in the last game at 5-2. And I think there's value in both games, but I think inevitably Spain continue to win and make it 8 in a row here. They look decent in a 0-0 draw against Portugal. Although Portugal had the better chances, Spain really did dominate the ball and looked the more likely, although Portugal caught them a few times on the counter. I think Switzerland are going to have to try and have the same approach to try and sit back, because they know they can't win a football match against Spain. And maybe that's how they will get their goal in this game. But I don't think they're going to be able to stop Spain outscoring them with the talent that they have there. Spain on the money line is a bit of a square play, but I think that it's very good to add to parlays, especially as it falls in under what we can pick here at 1-2 minus 200. If you want to take the risk, you can take Spain on the Asian market here at 4-6. That means if they win by one goal, you get a push on the -1 Asian handicap line. If you're feeling really brave, you can take them at 6-5 to cover the -1.5. You get no push if they win by one, so they do have to win the game by two. But I would recommend taking the -1 on the Asian handicap line, because I feel relatively comfortable that Spain win this game, because Switzerland don't exactly have the best away form, especially when it comes against top teams. Their away wins as of late have really been against poor competition. So I don't think there's much chance that Switzerland win this game or even come away with anything. They'll try to shut up shop and make it difficult for Spain to play, but inevitably they'll get the breakthrough, and once they get the breakthrough, there'll be time at the end of the game for Spain to get another goal, because Switzerland will have to come out. Or it could play out in terms of cashing your both teams to score better if you go down that direction, because Switzerland could either score when they're pressing the game, or they can score on some kind of counter or set piece, which would make it even more difficult for Spain to break them down. But inevitably, I think whatever way the cookie crumbles here, Spain end up finding the net a couple of times, or maybe even 3-4 times, and winning this game, because they have so much more class than the Swiss, and the Swiss have massively underperformed on the road. So my pick's going to be Spain on the money line for a safe pick to add to parlays and whatnot. And if you have got monies, a lot of money to bet, and you want to lay a big stake down, I think this is relatively safe. Or if you want to start a little open parlay for yourselves. But if you want to just have a one-off bet of the weekend, Spain -1 on the Asian handicap line at 4-6 will return you 167 off a £100 bet. So that concludes what I want to talk about on Saturday. Let's move on to Sunday now. And we begin by looking at a home nations battle between the Republic of Ireland and Wales, where Republic of Ireland are available at 9-5. It's 19-10 to draw, and Wales are the 13-8 favourites. But Wales are missing some key players here. They don't have Gareth Bale in their squad because he's still not fit to play, and Jose Mourinho insisted that he doesn't play for Wales and concentrate on getting ready for Tottenham, which is what he's doing. So I really don't fancy Wales to win this game. And with Ireland's recent goal record and without the involvement of Bale, that really takes the likelihood of us seeing goals in this game out of the equation. If you remember last time out, we cashed on the under with the Republic of Ireland at 13-20. Well, the price isn't as good here. It's available at 4-7, but I still think there's value in that price when you look at the fact that under 2.5 goals were scored in 100% of Ireland's last 14 competitive games. In addition to that, under 2.5 goals have been scored in 7 of Wales's last 8 competitive games, and Ireland have scored just 1 goal in their last 3 fixtures. Gareth Bale isn't playing in this game, and you have the bragging rights as well, because it's a home nations game. Wales don't want to lose to Ireland, and Ireland don't want to lose to Wales. I'd be surprised if we see a single goal in this game, and I'd be looking at other markets like under 1.5, under 1 at half time, which pushes on 1 if there is 1 goal, and wins if there isn't any, or just playing the under 2, which pushes on 2, and you lose if there's 3, but you win if there's 1. So lots of ways to go here. Obviously, the safest way is the under 2.5, which is available at 4-7. It's chalky, but it's going to cash, because I think these two teams probably play out a 0-0 draw, or somebody nicks it and do their very best to hold on to it and make themselves impossible to break down with 10 men behind the ball. Nobody wants to lose this game, and nobody really has that player who's going to be able to unlock the door if they play defensively. Wales didn't look like they had a goal in them against England at Wembley. Ireland couldn't score against Slovakia. And as I said, they've scored one goal in the last three. And under 2.5 goals cashing in 100% of your last 14 games in Ireland's case is pretty good data here to back the under in this one. We look at another home nation now, and it's the home nation. It's England, who are participating in the game of the week here this weekend. They're at home to Belgium, the number one ranked country in world football at the moment. And it's a complete pick 'em. England are available at 6-4. Belgium are available here at 6-4. And the draw is available at 2-1 here in this one. And I wouldn't be surprised if that come in. I have a small lean towards Belgium to win this game, just because I think they had better quality in their squad. England have picked a young squad here with not a lot of caps between some of the players, although they do have enough players there to put together a relatively senior team. But there has been some dissension in the ranks with players going out and partying and whatnot, and Gareth Southgate looking slightly rattled. Whereas this Belgian team, they just win. In fact, their draw, where they played a very, very, very rotated team against the Ivory Coast, was the first time they haven't won in 12 matches, because they were riding a 12-match win streak. England have decent home form. They've won their last 8 home games, and they are coming off a win against a Wales second team, with Calvert-Lewin scoring in that game. England have scored 24 goals in the last 5 matches, and Belgium have scored in 20 consecutive internationals. So whilst I lean Belgium, the data is telling me that both teams are probably going to find a net in this game. And when I looked up the price for that, it was pretty generous. You're getting both teams to score in this game at 4-5, with supporting data telling you that they are two very, very free scoring teams. Sometimes teams like this can neutralize each other out. We saw the Champions League final where it was very, very neutralized. But then again, the stakes were a lot higher. And as much as UEFA want to harp on about the significance of the Nations League and want to get it off the ground as a big major tournament, I don't think teams necessarily approach it that way. So I don't think we're going to get a very conservative game here between England and Belgium, where they're going to try and approach it with the mindset to not get beaten by the opposition. I think we're going to see a free-flowing game between two free-scoring teams who don't really have great defences. I mean, Belgium are the number one team in the world, but their defence doesn't exactly set the world on fire, much like Germany. And England are in that situation as well. In fact, I think when we head towards Euro 2021, one of the key things is going to be the team that are able to combine their attacking intent with the ability to defend are probably going to do really, really well in the tournament. And that could be France, because that's possibly what led France to win the last World Cup, because they were very balanced. When you look at Portugal's recent successes, where they won Euro 2016 and won the Nations League last season, they're a very balanced team as well, who have a lot of attacking players but don't necessarily set out to simply score one more goal than the opposition. They're not really prepared to go out there and win games 3-2 or 4-3. But they would rather sit in and wait for the right opportunities to come about. And you can see, if you watch the game against Spain in midweek, you can see why they're successful at that. Because Spain bossed all of the ball and bossed all of the game. Yet it was Portugal that had 4 or 5 clear-cut chances to score in that game. How João Felix missed at the end of that game, I'll never know. And then obviously we had Cristiano Ronaldo hitting the underside of the bar and almost scoring. So they were very unlucky not to beat Spain with the usage and implementation of that tactic. So there's various ways to play. At international football, it's not a case of the prominent teams using the high press, which is what we're seeing at club level with Liverpool and Bayern Munich. And more recently, we've seen the exposure of that, because Bayern have looked very shaky in recent weeks, scrapping to a 4-3 win against Hertha Berlin, being beaten by Hoffenheim. And we all saw what happened to Liverpool. With tactics in football, sometimes they come into fashion for a longer period of time, or sometimes they come into fashion for a short period of time. But in the end, everything gets figured out, and evolution is something that always will prevail. And teams that can evolve at the right times and be at the front of the curve will always do better. And balance is something that can't be overlooked. It can never harm you to have the right balance within your squad or within your first 11 and the ability to defend and your ability to sit on a lead and your ability to counter-attack. It's very important to be a well-balanced side. And I don't think that these two sides aren't necessarily well-balanced sides, but they certainly can find the back of the net. England do it with a lot of pace. And Belgium do it with a lot of creativity. They have players like Kevin De Bruyne who can just unpick the lock and create chances for players. Whereas England will just attack you with raw pace with the likes of Sterling and Rashford. And obviously they have Harry Kane up there who can finish chances. It'll be interesting to see if Gareth Southgate tries to use Kane in the way that Tottenham have used him in recent weeks, where he just drops back and becomes more of a quarterback and tries to find balls and use the pace of the quicker players, because that may be perfect for England. Because whereas Tottenham have Song, England have pace in the likes of Sterling and Rashford and Jordan Sancho, so they can really implement Kane in that position. And I'm sure Gareth Southgate's been watching the Tottenham games. I mean, that's his job, to watch every second that every England player plays. So he'll know that Kane has more assets to his game, and if England can utilise that, they'll be a lot more dangerous as well. But for me, I think Belgium still edge this out. I like them here as a pick at 10 to 11 due to the turmoil England are in, or semi-turmoil. It's not really a huge deal. I mean, these are young players who have decided to go against COVID regulations because COVID isn't a risk to them and they have a lot of money in their pocket to burn. I mean, you've got to think that these are youngsters in their 20s getting $100,000 a week, and they're being told that they can't go out and spend it because they have to sit in, and they've gone out and arranged their own house parties in their massive houses and have had their mates and girls over. And really, who can knock that? There's nothing I can say about that. There's no way that this little virus that kills 0.03% of people needs to stop life. We've tried lockdowns and lockdowns haven't worked. And if these guys decide to live, they need to go out and live. And unfortunately for four or five of them, it has cost them their place in this squad. And that is the situation at the moment with England. And it is a little bit frosty, and there is a little bit of turmoil, and Belgium coming a lot more organised as the number one team in the world, much more consistent. And I think if anybody wins this game, it's going to be them. But both teams to score here, really good price at 4-5 for two attacking teams to both find a net here at Wembley in the game of the week on Sunday. I'm going to close out by looking at Russia versus Turkey on Sunday night, which sees Russia as the 11-10 favourites here. It's 21-10 the draw, and it's 13-5 on Turkey. I can't see past a Russia win here, and I really like them on the money line. If you want to be a little bit more safe, you can take them here on the pick market at 8-15. But I would even look at being a little bit more risky here and taking Russia to win to nil, which is available at 27-10, and you're getting that at nearly 3-1. Six of Turkey's last seven games have featured under 2.5 goals, and Turkey's 10 Euro qualifying matches featured only 21 goals. So you're going to look at a tight game here with minimal breakthroughs. And if anyone's going to break through for me, it's going to be Russia, who have won 10 of their last 12 matches. They are the in-form team here. Their second team were beaten by Sweden 2-1 in a midweek friendly. But prior to that, their other Nations League games saw them win 3-2 against Hungary and 3-1 against Serbia. And you have to fancy him to beat this Turkey team, because Hungary are a decent side and Serbia are a decent side. They're two sides that progressed to Euro 2020 in midweek. So I think I really like Russia here to win this game. It's based on the fact they've won 10 of their last 12, and to win a tight game where they managed to win with a clean sheet. So Russia with a clean sheet, so Russia to nil is available at 27-10. But if you want to play it safer, money line 11-10, or even safer than that, Russia 8-15 as a pick here against Turkey. And I certainly think there's no danger taking that pick play, because I certainly don't think that Turkey come to Russia and win this game based on current form. So bet that however you want. My lean would be on taking the risk on Russia here on the money line here at 11-10. Closing out with a lock on this show. Last time out with the lock dog parlay, we went 100%. We landed the lock, we landed the dog, and we landed the parlay. Slovakia Ireland under, Slovakia with the clean sheet, And the parlay was Spain on the double chance with England to win and over 2.5 goals against Wales. And that didn't actually go off at even money. It actually ended up going off at 13-10 because information came out during the day that England were going to play a significantly weakened team and really rotate the squad. And that moved from even money to England to win and over 2.5 at 13-10. So you got a massive price on that accumulator, on that parlay. So we're going to try and do the same here. So we're not going to break up the mojo. We're going to keep Ireland in the lock here. So we're going to have a chalky lock at 4-7, which is going to be Republic of Ireland and Wales under 2.5. I went through the data there. There's nothing there that's going to change my mind. I certainly think that's going to be a low scoring game, which probably is going to end up cashing every facet of the under that we went through, be it the under one goal half time, be it the under two goals on the Asian handicap line, or even one under 1.5 goals. I just think if there is a goal in that game, that's going to be the deciding goal. It's going to be the major breakthrough that ends up winning that game. So under 2.5, I think, is very, very safe in this one at 4-7. Looking at the dog play, I'm going to go with Germany to win, which obviously isn't a dog, but over 2.5 team goals. And we looked previously, I mentioned Germany team total was at even money. Well, if you add Germany to it as well, you can get that at 13-10. So as that's plus money, that qualifies as a dog. And that's what we're going to take here on the show. If you don't accept that as a dog, then take Belgium to win away to England. But my official dog is going to be Germany to win and over 2.5 team goals. That's not over 2.5 goals. It's over 2.5 team goals. So Germany need to win this game and they need to score 3 goals themselves in the game as well. So that's why that qualifies as the dog. As for the parlay, we're going to go for Spain on the money line, Germany on the money line and Russia as a pick. I can't see how this loses. There is a possibility that Russia could push if Turkey try and sit in and give a perfect defensive performance and break the entire game down and squeeze the life out of it and Russia aren't able to penetrate. No bother. You still end up cashing the 1-2 and the 2-9. You win your short parlay. You move on with your money and you end up betting on something else at the start of next week. I'm going to be back at the start of next week with the Champions League show. We're going to preview all of the Champions League groups. We're going to preview all of the Champions League futures. After that, we're going to have the Bundesliga show, Das Bundesliga show, and then we're going to have the return of the EPL show. And that's going to be a longer show where we're going to look at those freaky results from last weekend. And we're going to look and talk a little bit more about Liverpool and Manchester United and what went on there and what the future holds for Man United. We're going to look at what business teams done in the transfer window. We're going to look at what the expectations are for Everton this season. We're going to look at what's going on with Tottenham because they look sneaky good. We're going to do this game by game. And as we approach those teams and talk about their games, we're going to talk a little bit about how they've started the season as well and reflect back on last week's games as well. So we're going to do all of that on next week's EPL show. But for now, that concludes this edition of your Nations League show. Let's hope we have another sweep with the lock, dog and parlay once again. Good luck with all of your bets as always. And thanks for listening.
It's finally spring, and I'm saying goodbye snow, hello adventure. And during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event, you can get epic deals on your favorite Honda model. Ready to get rugged? Then take the off-road in an all-wheel drive Honda SUV, like the CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, or redesigned Ridgeline. Want to take a spring road trip? Then check out a fuel-efficient turbocharged Civic or Accord. Say goodbye to winter and hello to a new Honda. Don't miss huge savings during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event, now at your local Honda dealer.